Y'all turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. I'm really excited about this word. I'm excited about not just today, but about what God's doing. I want us to look and talk about living from the heart and not from the head. When we live from the heart, it creates an invitation. It creates a place that God wants to rush in and meet us at. I want to talk about Jonathan and his armor bearer for just a few moments. We're going to be in chapter 14, 1 Samuel chapter 14. I'm in the King James in this. As we talk about this, we can mirror the same thing that we see with King David. We can see the same thing that's mirrored in other individuals. But I absolutely love this story because God uses a man to bring a great victory for a nation. And we have to ask ourselves if we're okay going it alone. I mean, we look around and there's not many people here this morning. I mean, we got folks in Montana and Blue Ridge and, you know, travel ball tournaments everywhere and different places and all that. And that's fine. But God is constantly asking me, will you do it the same way? Will you live your life the same way, whether there are many or few? And man, I'll go ahead and tell y'all, I've got a resounding yes, because I've seen what God can do in a few. I'll be honest with you, I'm going to live my life the exact same way if it's just me and Lori and my kids and grandkids. I love you guys, and God's connected a lot of us, and we're going to do this journey, you know, for keeps, I feel like, together. But you know, when Jesus asked Peter, he said, y'all leaving too? That wasn't going to change Jesus' ministry, and it wasn't going to change Jesus' plan, and it wasn't going to change what Jesus did if Peter was like, man, I'm out also. This is getting too hard. And I have really come to a place where I am like super peaceful and super cool, whether there are many or whether there are few. I really am. And I want you to, we all want to be part of the winning team in life. That's why we'll connect with this and this and this. That's, you know, the hot thing in society. And I'm not talking about just church life. I'm talking about in life. You know, like Nick was saying a couple weeks ago when he was preaching, he was talking about, you know, society tells us how to dress, and society tells us how to act, and society tells us how to think, and all of that. And we're not free when we're in that. We're in bondage. And I look in this story this morning, and I see an army of 600, and I see two men, and the two men that I see in this were freer than everybody else in Israel. Jonathan and his armor bearer were the two most free men in Israel. There's just two of them. One thing, I think I may have shared this with you last week, or maybe I shared it in private with some people, but one thing that messed with me because of the COVID, when we were in Peru, we were supposed to be in a group of 10 to 12. Typically, they have a group of 10 to 12 on this trek that we do. And they've got these little eco lodges. The people, the real cool concept. The owners come in and built some eco lodges, and they partner in these little real rural communities and all of that stuff. And they've got them in it. So, you know, they've got dedicated staff and all of that stuff and everything. And there were just two of us. And Sharon, they ran the lodges just like there were 10 or 12. The cook was in there cooking the same food. They didn't say, well, man, that's not enough. Let's shut it down. They said, we're going to do life, and we're excited to see the two, and we're going to do life. And we're going to do all of these excellence in details for these two, just like if there were 12. Because they put weight and significance on the two. And here's the question, will you put weight and significance first on your life? See, a lot of you have a hard issue, a hard time navigating life because you don't love yourself like you're supposed to love yourself. Jesus said, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. And the thing that I love about me is that I am chosen, I am His, I am redeemed, I'm called, I'm made in His image. And some of you can't get past the fact that because of your that one song, Where I Stack My Shame, we can't get past that. So we think, man, I'm just a covered pile of dung. I'm not. Nick, I'm not a snow-covered pile of dung. I am redeemed man made in His image with His breath inside of me. That makes me kind of a big deal. Now, I'm not tripping on ego for me because I know, trust me, I know my flaws better than any of you guys. I know what goes through my mind. And it ain't always pretty. If y'all saw everything that went through my mind, y'all probably wouldn't be up here, wouldn't want me up here with a microphone in my hand. But I know who I am in Him. I know what He's done in my life. And so we have to be not only comfortable, but we have to embrace the fact that I am on this journey, this individual, unique journey with God. And if it's just me and Him, that's enough. Because God wants to do amazing and powerful things through you as an individual. If you're married, through you as a couple. If you have a family unit, through you as a family. And we got to be okay if everybody else doesn't jump on the happy train. I'm big on dominion theology, and if everybody don't want to jump on the dominion theology train, then that's okay. But you know what? I ain't getting off. I believe my job's to redeem this planet, the land and the people. That's why I jockeyed a tractor all day yesterday. I spent about 6 hours in a tractor seat cutting a huge field of hay. And I'll fluff it this afternoon and bale it tomorrow and all that. And it ain't because I make any money on farming. I don't make nothing on farming. It ain't, oh, this is going to be industrious and prosperous. Me personally, I feel like God's called me to produce and to till the land and to grow and to make stuff so you can enjoy your Big Mac next week. That's our mindset. And if nobody else wants to get on, like I used the phrase happy train, because it's a happy train. I'm on a happy train right now. And it's all because of His goodness. It's all because of His amazing, tangible presence. And we look in this story right here, and there's a phrase in this that I love, and we're going to get to it. Y'all ready to start reading verses? So yeah, you said 30 minutes, Sid, so I got to get rolling. All right, verse 1. Errol told me the other night, she said, I got nursery Sunday, so get it out of your system now. Now it came to pass upon a day. I've got that underlined in my Bible, a day. Why not today? Why do you keep saying one of these days? Why not today? I will steal a phrase from one of the mainstream guys. I think it may be Joel Osteen, you know, living your best life now. Why aren't you living your best life right now? Why not? Keith, right now you should be at the crescendo of your journey. I feel like I am. But you know what's going to happen? That crescendo is going to keep going from glory to glory to glory to glory. Because I'm going to stand up here next year, and you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be at a new crescendo. Where everything just comes together so amazing, I'm going to be like, God is blowing my mind like never before. And that's what you said last year. I know! That's why it's so good. But why aren't we living our best life right now? You say, well, circumstances, Sid. You know, one thing that I found, the Apostle Paul says, I've learned how to abound and I've learned how to be abased. And one thing that I've learned in looking back in retrospect is that God's love for me right now in a place of blessing and prospering and all of that stuff is no greater than his love for me was 5 years ago when I was up at the bank bouncing checks. He don't love me more now than he did then. His love for me was just as profound when I didn't have nickels to rub together. True story. Or when I was getting betrayed. In the middle of ugly, nasty family stuff. My gosh. It ain't like all of a sudden God said, you finally got it right, dude. So you know what? We're going to start blowing up in your life. And the reason I say that is so if you're in that place to where it doesn't look good right now, the circumstances are tough. Maybe you're the guy that's, maybe you're like, I got to call the banker tomorrow. Me and the banker got on such a good first name basis and Buddy Rose and all of that stuff and all of that. That may be where you are right now, but I assure you that you can live a fabulous, glorious life in the midst of going through stuff. In the midst of going through stuff, you may be going through challenging relationship issues. Lord, I've had it all, man. We've had best friends, you know. It's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. We've had family. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe this has happened. You might be going through the middle of stank. Not stink, stank. And God's like, this will be your best life right now. Like, God, I don't see it. I know, but it is because I'm in the middle of it. I know it is. I'm in the middle of it. I love the story of Jesus calming the storms and all of this stuff because the disciples are in the middle of storms and these guys are professional fishermen. Peter's a professional fisherman and they're freaking out that they're going to die. They said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? This is a professional fisherman. This ain't some landlubber like me. It's a professional fisherman out there and he's thinking, this storm is so bad that I'm about to die. But the cool thing about it is Jesus said, I know, but I'm right here with you. I've always said that, man, I don't understand why the disciples are freaking out. If Jesus is in the boat, they're probably not going to drown. But then I find myself doing the same thing here in the storms of life. So I say all that because God wants to, what did we read in Romans 10 a while ago? That if the heart believes, then what happens? Then we receive the gift. And so I just want you to be in a place where wherever you are, that if you believe, it's going to attract him. It's going to attract him. It's going to attract supernatural activity in your life. It'll attract supernatural activity. I have seen supernatural activity in the middle of sitting in mediation with the ugliest family stuff you've ever seen in your life and seen amazing instantaneous supernatural activity. We have that one, baby. We're like, whoa, where did that come from? And I knew exactly where it came from. It came from Abba. Came from Papa Daddy. Man, I ain't even gonna attribute that to Jireh. I'm just saying that's my daddy loves me. And he showed himself strong. So I want you to be stirred in your heart and quit living from your head. I want you to go through life and say, God, I'm seeking these heart strikes. I want to feel these heart strikes. I want to know these heart strikes where you come in and you penetrate something and it bypasses this. Because there are two things that operate out of this, and you know what it is? It's the fear of failure and it's the fear of acceptance. And that will paralyze you. Your head will operate in fear of failure and fear of acceptance. That's the two big driving forces that paralyze people and stop them from taking risks. You know what supernatural activity is? It's believing him and taking risk. I mean, that's not the definition of it, but that's what's involved in it. is we recognize, man, I see God moving in this. Then yes, move on it. But it doesn't make sense. Move on it. That amount doesn't say, move on it. That risk, move on it. We look at the whole risk-reward thing. You know, we weigh the risk and the reward, and that's where we mess up. Say, I can go for this, and if I make it, it's amazing, but if I don't, I'm going to get burnt, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But here's the thing, if God's initiated in your heart, then it eliminates the risk. We simply believe and then we receive in this. Let's look at the story real quick. My clock's ticking. Now it came to pass upon a day, why not today, that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side, but he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. Let me paint you a very quick story on this. The Philistines were oppressing the Israelites. The Israelites had an army, if you will. There were 600 men. They had won some victories under Saul earlier in his career, not too distant career. They had won some victories, but they were ill-equipped. They were oppressed. They were outmanned, outgunned, everything from a military standpoint. They did not have they were paralyzed. They couldn't do anything, you know. They couldn't do anything. You know, like me and Nick getting in a ring with Mr. Wrestling number one and Mr. Wrestling number two. You know, we're outmanned, outgunned, and everything else. It ain't going to be pretty. And so, you know who it is, don't you, Judah? Absolutely. Someone, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's when I was a kid back in the 70s. That's when wrestling was real. Ric Flair and all that. Come on, somebody. I'm progressing. Woo! And Dusty Rhodes, the great American dream. Y'all are a bunch of rednecks from Georgia, aren't you? Me too. And God still loves me, and God still moves, and God still uses. But Saul and the army were paralyzed. And it says, in Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. You hadn't got to advertise to everybody. Just do it. You don't have to advertise it. Just do it. Just go out there. The evidence or the fruit will manifest. Just do it. A lot of times we got to announce it on social media, and we got to do this, and we got to do that. And just do it, and the fruit will show up. And so something happened in Jonathan where he's sitting here, and he's saying, this is messed up, man. I saw the victory over here. You can flip it back, and I saw the victory over here in 1 Samuel 11. Jabesh Gilead. I know victory is possible. I know who God said we were as a people. I know what the Pentateuch says. The books of Moses. I know what they say. I know what God did on, and concerning the promised land and Joshua and Caleb and all of this stuff. And he said, it's not right that we're living like this. We should be the most free people on the planet. Nick talked about it two Sundays ago. It's a good word, brother. It's different for you. But it was a good word. When this pandemic comes out, you know, Christians are like flipping out. They're losing their mind. Socially and economically and all of this stuff. We forgot who was on the throne. My thing is we weren't operating in peace, or most people weren't operating in peace. Peace and love's our currency, guys. And when we can't operate in that, we're broke. And God says, I want to bring you to a place where this walking in this place of love and peace, and it's a trust thing as our faith matures, it becomes us. I've taught on that before. And I look and I see a man right here that says, this ain't right. And it started with one. It didn't even start with two. Johnson's poor old armor bearer, the word says he was a young guy. It was kind of like Johnson's like, hey, come on, man, let's go. He's like, all right. And God stirred in Jonathan's heart that this is messed up and God wants to fix this. It was not a head thing. He didn't sit here and say, me and my armor bearer, that's two, and I don't know how many thousand Philistines there are, but there's enough that they're paralyzing 600 men in the army. So he didn't do the math and say, I believe we can take them. All he knew was God was stirring in his heart, Gordon. God was stirring something in there, and he said yes to a heart strike. Y'all know what I mean when I say heart strike? I use that phrase some. Y'all know what I mean? You know, there are things where we can look with our head and say, that makes sense, and so I'll latch on to that and all that. A lost person can come in and follow the principles that Lori and I live by, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to be blessed in their marriage, and they'll be blessed in their resources. Without applying faith to it, they can apply biblical principles, work. But all they're doing is using their head. But when we come in with our heart, and that's what happened with Jonathan. He came in and with a heart, there was a heart strike that took place in him. And he's like, man, this is messed up. And I think God wants to do something about this. Let's go. And so he comes out and he takes his armor bearer with him. In verse 4 it says, and between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over into the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozeth, the name of the other Senna. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. I'm not sure why God put that information in there, but there you go. Verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. The same heart strike that Jonathan's getting right here was the same heart strike that David got when he went out to face Goliath. David walked up, and Goliath's out there taunting, been doing it for 40 days, and he walks up, and he hears that, and he said, this is jacked up. This ain't right. Have y'all heard this guy down here taunting the God of Israel? This is messed up, and something stirred in him, not in his head. I believe I can take him. He wasn't that cocky. He wasn't, I believe I can take him. He said, I believe God will work with me. He's done it before. I've got a history with him. And I believe I can move in this. And it was the same thing that happened to Jonathan right here. And he comes to his armor bearer and he said, let's go down here. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Why do we leave it to the powerful, rich, and famous to save the world, to change the world? We give them that feel by default because we don't step up in what we're supposed to step up into. So we let them shape culture. We let them shape culture. I like verse 7, and it says, and his armor bearer said unto him, this is kind of where I got some of this from, and I want to hit two things on this very quickly. It says, his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Jonathan's armor bearer recognized this was a heart thing. He didn't say, man, get a good plan and we'll see what we can do. He said, do everything that's in your heart. Do what's in your heart. I am with your heart. James, I believe that's why we're connected. Scott, I believe that's why we're connected. Have been for years and years and years. It's because God is doing a heart thing in all of us. And yeah, sometimes this don't make sense, and sometimes this is offensive, and sometimes this does, you know, go against the grain or whatever and hurt feelings and all of this stuff, but we see the heart. If anything, I want you guys to see my heart for him and my heart for you guys. And we don't have to agree on everything. I do some stuff you probably don't agree with, and maybe you do some things that I don't agree with. But it doesn't change the heart issue here. And his armor bearer came in, and he said, you just do all that's in your heart, and I'm with you. God is so good, God will connect you with people. And it might not be a lot of people, but God is so good, he'll connect you with some people that will say, I'm with you. They'll say, I'm with you. I love y'all's little group of friends, Tiff. You know, there's five or six of the girls in the church about the same age. You know, some of them went to school together and all of that stuff. And some of them didn't, and God just kind of connected y'all. But you and Michelle cracked me up. You know, it's kind of like, Michelle's kind of like, Tiff will tell it like it is, and Michelle's like, I'm going to punch you in the side of the head, girl. All the time. I know, I hear it sometimes. I'm like, they're killing me. They crack me up, but they're perfect for each other. I mean, you're all your whole little group. And I love that. And you know what connects you is not your head and not your personality. What connects you is your hearts. That's the tie that binds you together. That's the tie that binds you together is the heart. And I am so thankful that God will put people into our life that will connect with our heart. And they say, man, I'm just following your heart. And I'm going to support you and I'm going to undergird you because I see your heart. I'm going to be there for you because I see your heart. Don't look at all the flaws and all of this. But say, I see your heart. Me and David Logue are nothing alike. David from Mountaintop Ministries, a guy from Honduras that was just up. We are nothing alike. Our so much polar opposites. But you know what connects us? We've both got a kingdom heart to serve and minister to people. And so that connects us, and you know what? That's enough. Doesn't matter if I'm a red state and he's a blue state or vice versa. Doesn't matter if I'm this and he's this and he's this and I'm this and all of this. He's from Florida and I'm from Buck Cannon. That talks about Mr. Wrestling number one and two while I'm preaching. But there's a heart connection. And I want to tell you guys, I want to encourage you that when you have these people in your life, place honor on it. And when God tries to bring these people into your life, open your eyes and see it and allow it to come in. Because some people are so closed off, God's been trying to bring people into your life and you won't allow it. God's got these people he's wanting to bring in your life. Lori kind of went through a stage there for about a year or so. And man, she's shut down in that area. And she said, I'm not going to let people in because I got hurt real bad. And God's like, man, I got some people. Besides your husband, I got some people. They're going to say, man, you just do what's in your heart and I'm with you on your heart. But she had to get to the place where she was opened up on that. So if you say, man, I don't have it, I open your eyes and open your life and see what God brings in. And he may just bring you this awesome armor bearer that says, do all that is in thine heart. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Verse 8, then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men and we will discover ourselves unto them. They said, basically, we're going to come out from these. I know why he described the rocks and all that on verses 4 and 5. Very steep place. He came in, they exposed themselves. Like, ooh, hey, we're here. He said, we're going to expose ourselves to them. We will discover ourselves unto them. And if they say unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and we'll not go up unto them. That was code for, like, if they say, y'all wait, we're coming to you, that's code for run like crazy because God ain't doing nothing great in this moment. That's really what he meant. We're getting out of Dodge. But, in verse 10, but if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. That was his strategy. That's his big military strategy. There's this garrison of Philistines, and his strategy is, if they say this, that means God's delivered them into our hand. And the armor bearer's like, okay. I love it. I love this guy. Okay. You know why? Because you're living from your heart, not living from your head. Because if you were living from your head, you'd be sitting under the pomegranate tree with your daddy. But you're out here taking a risk because God stirred something inside of you. I guess that's why one thing I love about Katie Davis so much. One reason we support her ministry, and some of you guys do too. She's a little girl, just graduates high school and goes to Uganda, and God strikes her heart and she says, I want to move there. And I want to do mission work. Her daddy's like, well, you promised me you'd do 1 year of school. Okay, I'll go back and I'll do 1 year. Like, she did 1 year at Lipscomb, Belmont, somewhere up there. And she gave it a year and she said, no, God struck my heart for Uganda. She went back and started adopting girls, a little single girl from Tennessee. She starts adopting these African children that are orphaned. I forgot how many she, maybe she wound up with 9. 14? Is it 14 now? The email I got the other day. She did this before she had her husband. She's got a husband and a child now. She did this before she got her husband. Because she had a heart strike. I think the email I got the other day is they're educating 700 and something kids right now and feeding over 1,200 every day. You know what that started out with? A little girl from Tennessee taking a risk. And everybody doesn't throw rose petals at her and tell her how wonderful she is. One of our friends that was one of the Edmonds girls, she was in student government down at Florida Atlantic. She was actually the president of the student body. And she told me that when she was at the house a few weeks ago, she said, I went to a leadership thing, and in one of the breakout sessions, it was not a Christian leadership thing, but it was affiliated with school government and all of that stuff. And she said one of the breakout sessions, the whole session was them bashing the model of what Katie Davis was doing at Amazima. She said the whole session was that this is wrong. This is not the way you touch the world. This is Americanizing the people from Africa, and they don't need that. And I'm like, so it's a bad thing to feed, educate, and love. And I want to ask that person, what in the heck are you doing to change the world? But I simply say that to everybody's not going to pat you on the back and say, Brett House is amazing. He's awesome. They're going to say this and this and this and this and this. They told Jesus. They said he was a friend of publicans and sinners. They said he was a drunk. They said he was a gluttonous. They said he's out doing all of this stuff. And they were dogging him like crazy. But it did not change his course of action because he's like, you know what? I got me and daddy, and I'm good with that. Peter, you're a bonus. So you come on with me. James, John, y'all are bonus. Come on with me. But you know what? I'm good with this. Because he believed, he knew where he came. He said, the word says he knew where he came and knew where he was going. So he was cool with things. But Jonathan believed in this. That he said, you know what? Here's my strategy. God's with me. You know what my strategy in life is? God's with me. Another businessman came up to me the other day and he's like, hey man, I want to sit down with you and talk to you about your business model. want to sit down and talk to you about how you do things and how you do business and how you grow business and all of this stuff. And I want to know what you did. I said, I got a real simple strategy for you. I said, I'll be happy to, but I got a real simple strategy for you. Trust God, work hard. You do those two things, everything else is going to take care of itself. Trust God, work hard. Believe Him in His promises, work hard. Grind when you have to grind, but at the end of the day, you trust in Him in everything. He's the one who provides the increase. And Jonathan understood this, guys. I want you guys to be a people that are willing to take risk. I want to be a man that's willing to take risk. Take risk relationally, take risk in just in life. I want my life to live from the heart and not live from the head, because nothing about this story makes sense. Very quickly, let's go. I'm at minute 24. I got 6 minutes. I'm keeping up with my watch here. And both of them, in verse 11, discovered themselves under the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the hole where they had to hid themselves. They're mocking them and making fun of them. Verse 12, and the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we'll show you a thing. And I love this. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. He didn't say, I'm about to go up here and go Chuck Norris on these guys and take care of business. You know what he said? He said, God's delivered them into the hand of Israel. See, when you're doing this thing and you're living by faith and you're following, you're living a life from your heart and not from your head, it is not all about you. It is about everything in your world. All the people in your world, the resources in your world, it's about all of it. And he said, God, let's go up because the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. I love his heart. His heart's pure in this. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet. That's how steep it was, guys. And his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. So he got up the garrison. He killed 20 guys. 20 men's not an army. 20 men is not enough to change everything. That's great, man. You're a bad cat. You just killed 20 men. You and your armor bearer. It's awesome. Kudos. You're brave. You got it going on. 20 men doesn't win a war, guys. But you know what it does do? It invites supernatural activity. It invites supernatural activity. Let me say that again. It invites supernatural activity. God wants our life to be such that our life is attracting supernatural activity. God is waiting. Jesus told the woman at the well, the Father seeketh such, those that worship Him in spirit and truth. I'm seeking that such. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro. That's what the Word says. And I believe that God is looking for a people. I believe God is looking for a man. I believe God is looking for a woman, Keith Carter, that says, I will live my life by my heart and not by my head. And whatever that looks like, that's what I'm following. I'm not following this because it don't make sense. I'm following this. Look what happens in verse 15. There was a trembling in the host in the field among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers. They also trembled and the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. That's supernatural. Gordon, if I'm sitting here and I'm a Philistine garrison and I've got thousands of people, enough to paralyze 600 men where they don't want to mess with none of us, and somebody comes in and kills 20 of our guys, you know what I'm doing? We're killing them. There's 1,000 of us here. There's 2,000. There's 5,000. And two guys come in. Yeah, they killed 20 men. Boy, we're about to take them out and make them pay for what they just did. But something supernatural happened. All of a sudden, there was a trembling. All of a sudden, we see it time and time again. Y'all remember the story when Samaria was under siege and the lepers were sitting outside and everybody was starving to death, and it was talking about they were selling dove poop, man. And that was after they ran out of horse heads and stuff like that. It was dire straits, and God sent this sound through the enemy camp. And they thought the Egyptian army had come upon them, and they fled and started killing each other and everything else. They left their whole camp intact. They said, we got to go or we're going to die. That's supernatural. Supernatural. And you got two guys that just killed 20 men, and it made a whole army flip out. Not only did it make a whole army flip out, there was an earthquake that started happening. The ground started shaking. God's good at this. He did it when Jesus was on the cross. And God discomfited the whole Philistine army because one man said, I'm going to live out of my heart, not out of my head. It stirred God to move. It attracted supernatural activity. Same thing happened with David and Goliath. It's the exact same thing. You think David was so good with his slingshot that the rock that big killed Goliath? Didn't. You know what killed Goliath? He cut his head off with a sword. But the rock and the faith was enough that it found a mark enough to cause him to fall to the ground. Maybe he had a concussion for a minute. I don't know, man. But that ain't what killed him. David was so proud of it, man, after the battle. You know what? He brought the sword of Goliath back and the head of Goliath. He's toting that head around, guys. Get that picture. He's walking around by the scalp of Goliath and carrying that big old jug head around. And look what God just did. And we see the same thing happening right here. And I absolutely love this story because it's a man living out of his heart and not out of his head. And everything, and this is the same thing about putting the weight that we talked about. The marriage feast that I was talking about earlier, all of this, it envelops, it folds together. Is that when we will be a people and we'll start living out of our heart and we'll take risk. And when God speaks to us, we'll recognize his voice and we'll say, man, this is God and this is significant. Just like him coming to me and saying, hey, man, let me show you what I made. You didn't hear it. That wasn't significant to you, but it was significant to me. I'm like, cool. Come on, Lord. Show me what you made. Yeah. Let me blow up in this area of your life. Let me blow up in this area. Let me move in this area. Let me touch your family. Let me touch your marriage. Let me touch your realm of influence. Let me breathe on an evening right here. Let me do these things. And he's waiting for us to say yes to that heart strike. But we let our head cancel it out because it don't make sense. It's too risky. It's too expensive. It's too extreme. It's too far. It's too far. It's too hard. And my thing is how are we willing to respond to him? We see what happened right here. Can I throw one thing on the end of this? And I'm going to paraphrase it. I'll just tell you what happens on the rest of the story. The rest of the children of Israel, the 600, they saw what was happening in the distance. And so it quickened them. They came to life. It resurrected them in their purpose. And so the Israeli army joined in the fray. And it talks about two other groups of people in this. there were some people that were Jews that had joined the Philistine army because they said, man, I'd rather be on the winning team, and at least I'll eat good, and at least I'll be protected and all of that stuff, and they ain't going to be pillaging me if I'm one of them. And I want to tell you something. I sit back and I see a church, and I'm not talking about Victory Fellowship, but I see a church that has so latched on to what society says is right and how society says we should live and all of that because they said, man, I'm dominated by fear of failure and fear of acceptance. And so they look like Philistine soldiers instead of Israelis. But you know what the actions of Jonathan did? It liberated them to where they're like, my gosh, what am I doing? I can see them throwing the helmets off and throwing the garb off, and now they didn't look like a Philistine soldier anymore. All of a sudden, they looked like a Jew. And so they joined in the fight for freedom. And there's another group of people that it mentions also. And it said that there were a lot of the Israelis that were hiding in caves and living in caves out of fear. And you know what it did? It caused them to come out of hiding. I hear the sound of victory. I hear the noise of joy. I hear the sound of hope. That song we just sang, Starts and Ends, that, help me with the words on it. Does it say it looks like hope? It feels like hope? James? Madeline? Somebody come on, help me. Linda? Looks like hope. Yeah, it looks like hope. And I'm like, what does hope look like? It looks like a man fully alive. It looks like a Jonathan being living from his heart, not from his head. You know what the paralyzed humanity is looking for? A Jonathan. It looks like hope. And these people that are struggling in marriage, you know what they so desperately need to see? You're shining. They're struggling with peace. You know what they need to say? You're shining. They're freaking out because of COVID. And you're walking in ridiculous peace. Not rebellion because it's conspiracy theory and all of that stuff. But, man, I'm walking in peace. You want me to wear a mask? I'll wear a mask on. I wore two masks and a face shield on a full flight the other day. That ain't me. But you know what I did? I strapped on two masks and a face shield, and I was in a place of perfect calm. One guy got kicked off the flight, got escorted by the police before he actually even got on the flight. He was at the door to get on the flight. Me and Lori sitting in the front seat, sitting there, and it was just here, just going on, wah, 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 in Spanish and all that. And, you know, I can't speak Spanish any good. Going on. I said, he going to lose. I told Lori, I said, he going to lose. He is not going to win this. And after about 5 minutes, guess what? I was looking and all that. The pilots, man, I'm sitting there looking at me and the pilot. He's sitting there looking like. After about five minutes, I see the little police officer, you know, packing and all of this stuff. And down there, they carry machine guns and everything. You know, and this guy's, he's like, guess what? He didn't win. I guess he showed them, by golly, right? Nobody tell me what to do. We just did. But you know what they need to see? Peace. Hope. Love. Radical generosity. Somebody that lives by their heart and not by their head. That's what the people in hiding need to see. That's what the people that are wearing the wrong outfit need to see. So the question is, Will we say yes to God's invitation? Because it's out there for all of us. It's out there for all of us. Let's stand to our feet. You know what made Jonathan special? It wasn't the fact that he was King Saul's son. You know what made him special? He said yes to a heart strike. He said yes to a heart strike. Have y'all ever wondered the phrase at the end of Matthew, I think it's Matthew 22. Yes, that is Matthew 22 on the parable that I was referencing on the wedding feast and all that. At the end of the phrase, Jesus makes a statement and he says, many are called, but few are chosen. Have y'all ever wrestled with that? Say, what do you mean, you know, chosen is just a select few? Is it, you know, we you know, you're talking about Calvinism? I mean, what's going on? You know who the chosen were? The ones that said yes. And the interesting, we think the chosen are the elites, the Bill Johnsons of the world. You know what it said just prior to that, about two verses? It said that the ones came, you know the ones that were came, you know who they were? Good and bad. It ain't like he was pulling the cream of the crop. Good and bad. He was just the chosen. You want to be the chosen? Just say yes. It's that simple, Mary. It's that simple. Just say yes. Say yes in your life and keep saying yes every day of your life. And you know what? You will, that extravagant, extraordinary life I was talking about a while ago, you'll live it. That's the secret sauce in my life. I just say yes. Me and Lord just say yes. We say yes to each other. We say yes to God. We say yes to heart strikes. We say yes to whatever. Lord, is this you? Yes. It doesn't get filtered up here. It's just like, it's you. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. I don't ask where we're going. Jonathan's armor bearer didn't come in and say, well, tell me your plan. And if it makes sense, I'm with you. But if not, I'm going to tell your daddy. He didn't say that. He said, what's in your heart? And here's where, let me marry this together. And I know I'm at 32 minutes, right? Sorry, Errol. Here's where this ties in together. When you know, for about the last 5 years, God's really been trying to teach us about beloved identity and beloved status. When we really get the beloved identity and the beloved status, when we really get that, then we don't question his heart for us. We don't question his heart for us. So you know what that does? That allows us to say, I'm with you, Jesus, do whatever's in your heart. That's what his armor bearer said. I'm with you, do whatever's in your heart. All that's in your heart, I'm good with it. And when I understand his love for me, when I understand my beloved status, then it's easy for me to say, whatever's in your heart, Lord. Yes, whatever's in your heart. Whatever's in your heart. I'm good. I know it's going to be amazing. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that God has in store for those who love him. That's here. That ain't heaven. It's right now. That's right now. That's right now. All right? Amen. Y'all good? That wasn't real resounding. Are y'all good? Heart strikes this week? I'm not telling you to be dumb. I'm not telling you not to educate yourself and use your mind. Yes, please do. Please do. Have some sense about you with stuff. But at the end of the day, this is your filter, Madeline, not this. What is the Lord saying to your heart? What's he stirring in your heart? That's it. Follow that. If you live that life, you're going to be all right, girl. I won't have to break nobody's legs or shoot nobody or anything like that. You're going to be okay. going to be all right. Love me some Madeline. Heard him. I'd be in line, though, behind James. Better give you, better have a good son-in-law is all I got to say. There's going to be some folks in line. Heart strikes. We good with it? Going to live like that, Ambry? That's what your baby needs. A mama that's going to chase after him. That's what he needs. Mama that's going to chase after him. His granddaughter needs a needle. Grandmother that's going to chase after him. Just do whatever's in your heart concerning my life, Lord. All right? Man, I hope you have an amazing day.